You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
And welcome to the Win-Win podcast. As always, this is Ben Wolf, your host, and we're going to be learning from our guests, plural today, about executive assistants. How do you know when you need one? And before we get into introducing them, I just want to share that, like, why do we even talk about executive assistants, right? It's all about maximizing the ROI, the return on investment of your time in your business. And so when we think about that, we think about getting to be more of a self-managing business and you know, one of these themes. And so I want to share some resources that I put on our website, wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. It's got some resources to help you get your business to be more self-managing. There's a roadmap tool that you could use on figuring out what are the rights and lefts, what's the roadmap to get your business to more of that self-managing state from a COO's perspective, which is what we do. There's a video guide on how to use that roadmap. So that's a useful tool. There's a team assessment, some other good tools there. WolfsEdgeIntegrators.com, W-O-L-F-S, EdgeIntegrators.com/resources, so you can get those. And hopefully that is able to add value for that. And with that, I want to get into introducing our guests today. Stephen Nooner and Ryan Kasson are partners at Superpowers, which is an executive assistant firm that helps entrepreneurs achieve new levels of freedom and growth. Talking about them individually, Stephen Nooner is an associate coach at Strategic Coach. He is my coach at Strategic Coach. I know I'm going to be seeing in a couple of weeks at my next workshop. And so I've been fortunate enough to be coached by him for over 2 years now. He is a children's book author, the owner of Barnhill Vineyards, a vineyard and event venue near Dallas. And also he previously founded and exited Cobra Administrators, an employee benefits firm. Also on the episode today is the other partner at Superpowers, Ryan Kasson. He is the managing partner at Here Companies, which has a portfolio of single family homes for lease in the Dallas area. He has over decades of experience as CEO at Dallas-based Beast Digital Strategy and Communications firm before that. You can find out more about Superpowers and their work at superpowershq.com, spelled how you would think, superpowershq.com. And with that, I want to introduce you to Stephen and Ryan. Welcome, guys.
Hey, Ben, really glad to have you to be here with you, man. It's a fun to get to invest time together. It's been a real blessing the last couple of years, and grateful you had us on the show. And by the way, I am going to check out your resources. I mean, that's quite a lead in there. So, and I'm going to have to go. You buried the lead. There sounds like there's some good value there. I have to go check it out.
Yeah, I hope so. And Ryan, awesome to have you too. And I appreciate you guys having me on your podcast a little while ago.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. And, you know, ditto everything Stephen said. Looking forward to being here. And thank you for the opportunity, Ben.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. And I didn't really plan like who would answer this question. I don't know. Maybe Ryan, I'll give it to you for this first one. If you could give us a quick 2-minute background, like of how did you guys get involved in the executive assistant world, and, you know, from wherever you came from to just a quick 2-minute history and background on how we got to be talking about this topic today.
Yeah. We sort of discovered the opportunity through our own respective Stephen and me, our respective entrepreneurial journeys. So Stephen and I met through EO Entrepreneurs Organization here in Dallas, and we both had our separate businesses. Mine was the digital marketing agency. He had an insurance agency, and we both at some point along the journey of our growth wanted to invest in an executive assistant. And I'll let Stephen tell his story, but it largely mirrors mine, where I got really, really lucky, not knowing how to hire for the role, not knowing what the right qualifications were, not knowing what the right expectations were, but knowing that I needed help and that an executive assistant could be a part of the business growing. And so I totally lucked out, found the most amazing executive assistant on the first hire. We grew and grew and grew together. In fact, she's with us now in a leadership role at Superpowers. But the incredible thing was, is that along the way, So many business friends, so many EO friends, so many contacts would interact with Amber from my team and say, hey, I want my own Amber. How do I get Amber? Right. And they would sort of joke, but not really joke, like, I'm going to hire Amber away from you one day. Right. And so, you know, where it ultimately evolved from more than just a joke was, hey, you know, we can, and Steven's experience was very similar with his executive assistant. We can actually help our fellow entrepreneurs grow into this role and learn how to get more out of the role. And so our executive assistants would actually sit down with their new EA hires and sit down for an entire day and coach them up on how to be a great executive assistant. And so it was just a, it was just sort of a service, a friendly thing to do to fellow entrepreneurs here in Dallas. But what we discovered when we both sort of exited our businesses about the same time is there's a huge opportunity here. We see the impact that it has in the lives of fellow entrepreneurs who get new freedom and growth. Like you said at the onset here, you know, that's what we really believe, is that it doesn't have to be a teeter totter between prioritizing freedom and sacrificing growth, or prioritizing growth and sacrificing freedom. And so what we've been done is sort of teamed up and brought everything that we've learned, and learned a whole lot more since then, to a really key hire that entrepreneurs can make that, that has a big impact on their lives. And that's the fulfilling sort of purpose part of it, is that we get to see not only, you know, the outcome for the EAs in a great role in working in entrepreneurial businesses, but of course the tremendous transformation that happens for the entrepreneur as well.
Well, it sounds like you founded this company essentially as a defense mechanism not to lose your own EA by having them hired, having her hired by somebody else.
I've never heard it described that way, but now I'm definitely seeing it through that lens.
It's a new lens. Yeah. I would say one little thing I would just kind of fun, just a tip of the hat to Mr. Kasten here, which is, you know, we had different journeys along that path. So Ryan's journey was a journey of he joined Strategic Coach as well. And it was something early on that was mentioned, was hiring a executive assistant, strategic assistant. And Ryan activated quickly on it for me. And we'll talk about it more, I'm sure, throughout the podcast. But I did not. I was all in, Kool-Aid drinker. I'm literally an associate coach or strategic coach now. But this was something, the one piece of wisdom that I deferred the most on. But when I did, to Ryan's point, it was absolutely transformational. And it just shows Ryan's smarter than me, at least faster.
That's awesome. And yeah, I know people talk to me repeatedly about my assistant, Talina, and
watch out,
you know, like, how do I, right now I got to watch out and send people, but it's, you know, my assistant Talina. So it is great. It's very powerful. If one of you guys can share, before we like go back and how we get there, like paint us a picture, like what does the future look like? You know, if I'm a business owner, I'm don't have an assistant, right? And I'm trying to scale a business. What does that look like? What are the possibilities? Just like, what does my future look like that I could look forward to if I get the right assistant into place?
Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, maybe an experience share in how I feel like I get value out of my executive assistant at a really, really high level without getting into specific tasks or tactics or anything like that. You know, I talked about freedom and growth and that tension between, you know, being consumed by the business, needing to work on the business 24/7, not being able to get away from it without feeling consequence. But more broadly, I think the beauty of a great executive assistant relationship is that you're finally free of the tension of needing to be in two places at once. So you're on a sales call with a prospect and you're giving 100% attention, but in the back of your mind, you're worried about what's happening in your inbox. Or you're traveling to a lunch, but in the back of your mind, you're worried about the things that are piling up on your to-do list that you need to delegate to your team, or that you need to review from your team, or keep coordinated and moving forward among your team. There's always this sort of, you know, when I talk to fellow entrepreneurs, and I certainly feel it as well, when I don't have that relationship performing at a high level, is I feel that anxiety creep in, that whatever I'm giving 100% to, it's still not enough to keep all of the plates spinning, all the balls juggling, whatever metaphor you want to use. And so I think a really high leverage executive assistant alleviates that tension and that pain. And that's why you can finally get the freedom while your business continues to go on a growth course, is because you don't feel that tension of needing to be in two places at once. And while it's nice to be on the sales call and give 100% of effort and attention there, knowing your inbox is being taken care of, for instance, what really feels great is being able to take a free day and know that everything is continuing to move forward without you having to have your hand on everything at all times.
And what I would kind of add is just the ability to bring truly your superpower and coach language, your unique ability to every part of your life. Imagine being able to do that and just show up at your absolute best, right? Like just some of the ways my experience is shaped is like, I used to be really good. One of my lifetime goals, as someone has had, grew up in an environment with seven marriages and a couple engagements to make the altar. My relationship, my wife is extremely important to me. Well, what is the evidence of that? Well, early on in the relationship, you're dating and courting, it's real easy to put all this energy into it. But as life gets busier, you had kids and businesses and all these things, sometimes it's easy to fall down on our best intentions. And so what my assistant, for example, allows me to do is to show up my best, right? Whether it's planning, you know, knowing very well, like what my wife's favorite restaurants are, favorite artists are, different things, looking every month and what's going on in our community and creating a report for me that I can review quickly and pick and choose. Hey, let's do that. And yeah, let's send flowers and then making all that happen so that I can show up and actually like live my values. My value of loving my wife is now formed in a very thoughtful habit. And I get to show up and be creative and energized. And as Ryan said, fully present in that relationship. Right. And so that whether it's that or children or just, you know, being a better friend to someone, having that extra sort of brain capacity there to help you live into your best self, I think is truly a superpower.
Right. That is a great way. And I love, Ryan, that you talked about it for the business side, and Stephen, you talked about it also on the personal side, which a lot of people don't think of when they, you know, and they don't realize. And I think you guys had a great interview series on Shannon Waller from Strategic, you know, one of the over 30 years of Strategic Coach. And you guys had a series of five or six podcasts that you did on her Team Success podcast, which I highly recommend everybody. Go to Shannon Waller's Team Success podcast, and you can find five or six episodes with Stephen and Ryan talking about all many different angles on this topic. One of the things in the first interview you did over there was called, if I remember correctly, like, you know, do I deserve an assistant? And one of the things that I really got out of that first episode was just opening my eyes to the variety and the kinds of things that they could do. Cause like most people think of it as just, okay, just your email and your calendar. Like what else is it? Like, what else could they do? Or maybe there's certain data entry. I don't know, something, you know, you don't really think of what's possible. I don't know. And they haven't heard, and maybe they don't know anybody that's used a really effective assistant. So they don't know what's possible, but now they're listening to you guys. And so they can know what's possible. I mean, just to actually to echo before I ask you that question, Ryan's example, just yesterday, I'm having this week was my second week with doing client work again. I had one client. I had 9 months of not doing client work. I'm doing fractional COO integrator with one client now. And so the whole day yesterday, I was there in person and physical. And during that day, like I ended the day with an empty inbox. And I checked in twice by email, a couple of points. I was like at a bathroom break. I quickly looked at my email, and I had gotten a lead during that day, and I got a discovery call scheduled with them. And like, you know, it was just like taken care of and like end of the day with a clean inbox. And so that image that you said of like not having that tension of feeling like to be two places at one time, it's just such a much more calming or sane life. But if you could do a little bit of what you did in that first episode with the Team Success podcast, and like just paint it, like just give me 10, 20 examples. I don't know, just like what's some of the world of possibilities of what things can look like with a great executive assistant.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, embedded in your, the way that you set up the question, and we can definitely detail some of the specifics, but one of the things that, that you keyed in on at the beginning of your question is this notion of deserving the assistant. And I actually think that that's like a foundational concept before you can even get to the specifics of what they're doing, because it reflects two things, two different mindsets. And I'd love for Stephen to touch on the psychological aspects of that in just a second, but to kind of lay the framework before we talk about what an assistant can do, that deserving piece is so, so important. And one of the things that we see that makes make entrepreneurs sort of undeserving of an executive assistant is having the wrong mindset about the person's role. The best EAs are going to combine knowledge of your organization and how to navigate it, strategic thinking, follow through, all in one relationship. And so oftentimes in our initial conversation with folks, we hear that, you know, oh, well, this is just menial work that I have to do, and it's just stuff that's on my plate and it's low value. And they don't mean anything by it as it relates to, you know, shoving it off on an executive assistant. They don't mean it to be demeaning, but I actually think it's a mindset trap. If you have the right EA, the work you hate doing, the stuff that does feel menial and low value and like stuff that just piles up on your plate, the stuff that you're probably not even very good at, that is somebody else's superpower. That is somebody else's unique ability, right? To put it in those coach terms. So in terms of deserving an assistant, that perspective of valuing the work and elevating it rather than delegating it down, I think is one of the big distinctions for folks who have success hiring and working with this role, because it shifts the need, the requirement, the who you're searching for from just any warm body who will make the pain go away to demanding sort of a highly selective, really thoughtful process to find that right fit for you and your organization.
And what I'd add to that, maybe from the psychological standpoint, is, you know, and I share some of this honestly from experience, as you know, Ben, is that, you know, an early entrepreneurs have non-traditional paths oftentimes into being entrepreneurs. And sometimes, you know, it's not uncommon in all the work I've done with entrepreneurs that there's some sort of trauma or some things that can happen early in people's lives that get them to form, you know, thought patterns that aren't helpful. And it's really helpful for starting a business, getting going, being a rugged individualist, going against the grain, but they can also be somewhat limiting beliefs. And one of the first ones that I see often and experience personally is this idea that we're not good enough, right? And what the problem with that it causes entrepreneurs who believe this often, I see them settling for good, not great. So they settle for, like, they can close the good opportunity, but they can't, they always fall short in the biggest and best possibilities, right? They hire a team member that gives them like faux freedom. They feel like they've got, you know, oh, I made the hire, but they didn't really hold in and like get that really great person. So it holds them back in a whole lot of ways. And so that's the first one I see, which is just the idea that I'm not good enough. The second one I see is I don't deserve it, right? The big trap with this one is that, you know, it's very self-focused, right? And the truth is, your clients deserve it. You doing your best work and being fully present with them, your team, when you're with them, solving their problems, helping them remove obstacles and roadblocks, they need you at your best, right?
And not being a bottleneck.
Yeah, not being a bottleneck.
Because you're overwhelmed and not responding to them and giving them what they need.
And they don't want to be your assistant either, right? So, because a lot of times what happens, the team has to absorb because things have to get done. And if you're not doing it, then all of a sudden you've got a high level COO, right? Also integrator who is now doing assistant work. How does that make any sense, right? But the work's got to get done. And so you see all these people start shifting around, trying to make things. And so this idea that I don't deserve it actually is causing pain and trauma for others, but it's because of that self-limiting belief. And then the third one I see, especially Protestant Midwest people in particular, is this idea that we have to work hard. Like it's a family value.
Presbyterian work ethic.
Right? We're going to work so hard and I get it. And I love my rural family roots from Missouri. And what I will tell you is, you know, a lot of that was formed during the Industrial Revolution. Like that's where a lot of those beliefs, you know, formed. And, you know, we're no longer working on the farm. Very few of us, although I've got some horses and donkeys out here. But we're not on an assembly line. We are literally in a different economy, and we have to be maximum creativity, maximum problem solving capability. And we do that when we're present, focused, energized, and truly in our unique ability. We're now like to be successful in today's world. I think that entrepreneurs have to realize that you got to be a Tesla, right? Like you need the battery charge. You need to be able to go in ludicrous mode, and you can't do that all the time. You'll just burn out. And so an assistant is a key unlock for that. And I just think that's a trap belief, is just, I got to work hard.
Right. Well, speaking of Tesla, we're going to have another delegation, right? When the Tesla Optimus robots start coming out, we're going to have a whole nother industrial revolution of, you know, of freedom and creativity, and who's going to, you know, be able to succeed in that environment when so many tasks are not going to be done by humans anymore, you know, that still are. But
I think the robots will find plenty for us to do, Ben.
The robots will put us to work. our robot overlords, maybe. We'll see.
That's the scary thing is when we start doing jobs robots don't want to do.
Oh my gosh. There's an interesting one. Oh, wow. So maybe let's put another thing before we start talking about painting the picture and of all the possibilities and what things can look like is, okay, so let's say we want to get rid of some of the head trash around do we deserve, or how we think about what we're having the assistant do, that we're elevating somebody to do their superpower. We're not like throwing away our garbage onto somebody, we're sort of work on that that bad ways of thinking and some of the head trash. But practically speaking, when's it appropriate? When and who should be getting an assistant? When is that appropriate?
Yeah, so there are so many different hires you can make that sort of check the box for this role, right? Some people think VA, virtual assistant. Some people think EA, executive assistant. Some people think chief of staff. There's this really wide spectrum of potential hires, and knowing who the right person to hire obviously is the foundational step in setting you up for success. And so we have what we call the 3 P's framework to kind of work through who you need. All right. And the first P is projects, right? Those projects have dedicated marketplaces matching a specific need with the talent who's willing to do that work. So think like design, copywriting, video editing, maybe podcast editing. That's a perfect project hire. And you can go to the Fiverrs or the Upworks or the, you know, million other specialty sort of online marketplaces where you can find those, you know, task-oriented individuals and get really phenomenal work, something that an EA probably isn't the right hire for. Then there's processes, the second P. And for that, we're a big believer in VAs, virtual assistants, sort of low cost solutions. And that's where you need consistent execution on a known, clearly defined process. You have a clear idea of what the inputs are and what you expect the outputs to be. You're not looking for a whole lot of critical thinking or analysis. You don't want to evolve or improve the process. You just need to sort of bring human automation to it almost, right? And then the third P is proactive. And that's where you bring in an executive assistant. So this is where we think that, you know, you get that freedom and growth. This is the highest leverage hire of the three that you could make. But this is the person who sees around the corner, takes the lead in the relationship. And this is a really important piece of it, is a high performing EA relationship. Your EA is going to be the leader and you're going to be the boss, right? So you're going to set the parameters of the relationship, the expectations and everything else. But ideally, the EA is pulling you forward as the leader in the relationship. And that's somebody who you're working side by side with every day. They're aligned with you on your goals for the quarter. They know where you need to go and how to help you get there. So that's the, you know, projects, process, and proactive three-piece framework that helps guide, you know, the folks that we talk to, you know, making the right hire at the right time. And the other piece of that, of course, is that you'll need all three at different points in the business. You know, simultaneously, you might hire all three.
Right. That aspect of proactive may be surprising to people that are not, you know, more steeped in this world. What, paint some pictures now, right? Like, open people's eyes. Like, what kind of things are possible? What does it look like? What does that proactivity feel like? Like, which again could be a foreign concept to a lot of people.
Yeah, the proactive piece ultimately shows up, at least initially, in feeling like the business is moving faster than you've been, you know, comfortable with, right? Because you're in, you have an expectation of how quickly you reply to emails, how quickly things get set up, how quickly things get delegated, how quickly you're getting feedback about them and following up with members of your team about them. You have a set point for all of those things in your business, and EA is going to accelerate all of them. So the first thing is, when the relationship begins to really hum, there's an adjustment period to, wow, not only do I have more mental free space to think about the vision I have for the future and how to get there, things are now beginning to move faster. For some people, that can be a little humbling, because that's also a realization that having this additional person on your team meant that you were holding back the organization to some extent, right? And I know Stephen can share some experience there from, you know, him hiring his first EA, but, you know, just in terms of making it concrete. So your executive assistant is going to help you get to and maintain inbox zero. They're going to help proactively get things out of your, you know, to-do list onto the appropriate members of the team. They're going to schedule time with you to do the downloads that need to happen, the information and knowledge transfer, to help draft an impact filter, to use coach terms, but basically to scope projects and get them to the team. They're going to follow up with the team members. A lot of cases, EAs, before they have full knowledge of your organization, they're going to be able to help get things to 80% done. So you can just be responsible for that last 20%, right? Whether that's the magic dust on top of it, or just saying, hey, here's how we need to tweak and evolve things. Assistants are going to help you walk into meetings more prepared. They're going to prepare a background brief for you that says, you've only got 5 minutes in your Uber ride over to the client. Here's everything you need to know about their background, their school, the projects they've worked on, the people they're connected to. So you walk in with confidence and you're building camaraderie right from the get-go. They're going to give you a daily brief in the morning to summarize everything you need for your day ahead, and a bullet at the end of the night to summarize everything they completed for you and the status of projects. And that's before they get into the personal activities, right? That's before they get into what we call sort of the umbrella term, personal concierge, travel, hotels, accommodations, you know, looking for enforcing date night for clients. That's a big one for us, is like every Wednesday at 7 p.m. I want to make sure that I've got date night scheduled at one of these three places, right? So all of that grows from there. So those are the core playbooks. That's really where we focus a lot of our energy and effort early on. And I can talk a little bit more about that onboarding process and what to expect the first 90 days, what success looks like, what the different markers or expectations of success are. But I do know that Stephen has a story about, you know, what ultimately led to him hiring his first EA as well.
Yeah, no, I'd love to hear that, and then get to the get to that first 90 days, and also hear about how superpowers, you know, helps people.
Yeah, well, happy to jump in here. So as I kind of tip my hat to a little bit, my story was a little was similar but different to Ryan's, in a sense that I was all in on Coach very early. I mean, anything that basically Coach brought in, I was like, I'll give it a try. Like, and I'll optimize, I'll figure it out. But, you know, I want to really, really lean into this, because Strategic Coach candidly got me from seeing myself as an insurance salesperson to actually seeing and believing I was an entrepreneur with a specialization in insurance. So the transformation alone from that alone was such a big impact. I was like, man, I'm going to keep leaning into this and taking away what I can. Well, the one thing I resisted, back to some of the not good enough, don't deserve it, work hard type stuff, I hired for every single other, as we grew, I hired for every single person in our business. I would fill the seat. I'd fill the seat with support people. Sorry, tongue got tied fast over there real quick. But I would fill the seat with support people for the people I've even got. So I just really, really wanted to help make sure the team was in a good place. And my team one day came to me and said, they basically staged an intervention. And a couple of my key leaders came to me and said, look, we love you and we appreciate so much that you care so much for us and you want us to have a great experience. You are now officially the bottleneck and the blocker on everything. You're on the way on everything. So every initiative, like we need you, but we need you to, and we don't want to do this stuff. And so they actually said, we're not hiring anyone else until you get an assistant. And so we had an interview process, and it was actually an audition process. And they helped, thankfully, because I like everybody, they helped me really create a really great pathway. And I had an incredible assistant. And because of all that head trash, not good enough, don't deserve it, work hard, right? My mindset was had previously been that this is an expense. And I was trying to really lean into the idea that this assistant could be an investment for the business. And so it was a big kind of four C's kind of scary moment. That's a lot of money. Oh my gosh, I'm not sure. Am I going to get the return? And so I made this investment into this person. Her name was Fern. She was amazing. We worked together for a decade. But what came of it was insane unlocks within the business. We started growing at a rate. I literally could easily tie at least a 5X return on that investment, at least 5X. And the impact was so significant, and that's financial. The impact was so significant, even in my personal life and in the relationships of others around me, that when we took on private equity and ultimately exited our business, I had an option to handle my own email, handle my own calendar, do some of these things, and basically have that, what was previously a scary investment, right? I was able to have that drop to the bottom line and get paid an 8x multiple on that number. Okay. So I'm talking a lot of money here, Ben. And so what I did, the transformation, just why we believe so much in this, is that I went from, I don't know if we can do that, I don't know if we can afford it, I see it as an expense, to I will pay 8x to maintain this level of freedom. Okay.
Right.
So think about it. It's a big number, right? Huge, huge, significant number. And what I can tell you is we had a 2-year kind of like earn out period with a ability to grow and receive a higher amount based on our performance. We maxed our earn out, which equated about 2 more turns in our EBITDA over a 1-year period. Okay. I didn't take 2 years. I did it in 1 year. And that year I took 155 free days. Okay. So I more than made the return on the investment on that hire. Right. And so anyway, so different pathway, expense moves to investment. And so I can, for the right person, this is like probably could be one of the biggest investments they can make in their life. And the reason is the ability to have someone that's proactive can then lead you. We all have weak spots. We all have blind spots. And my assistant, one of the best things she does for the business, I know I talk a lot about personal, is she causes collision courses for all the things that I would tend to procrastinate on or avoid. And by Ryan's 80-20, she keeps me in my unique ability, keeps me moving, and keeps me moving towards the things that I might psychologically kind of know as dangers.
Right. That's a great story. I'm coaching one person as a integrator coaching, and just, she got cold. Like, we agreed after this whole process on what role she was going to. I wasn't an assistant yet, but another role, or it was a sort of an assistant in one of her roles actually. But it's, you know, just got cold feet and didn't want to go forward. And like, we had to go over. It's like if she's in clothing, she designs, manufactures clothing, she has stores. And I'm like, you know, if you had, like, you know, what could you do with like looking at more designs, more manufacturer, more locations, looking at the competition, like, you know, like sales, like what could you be doing? Like, you could be making so much more money, so much more powerful, than the computers and the, just all the stuff that she ends up spending time on. But,
take your top three initiatives and execute them over a quarter instead of a year, because you procrastinate, you're unorganized, you keep falling down. You compound that, like compounding interest over a period of time. The problem is it's hard to see. It's just like compounding interest. It's hard to see that impact, but over a period of time, it's exponential.
I want to remind everybody, you can look at superpowershq.com. People want to learn more about their company, if you want to find an assistant. But Ryan, if you could share as our last question today, what does that, you talked about that setting it up for success, right? Because you could just hire somebody, not go in with a plan and then have it flop, or like, oh, this doesn't work. But if you want to set this up for success, what does that look like? What does setting up an executive assistant relationship look like to make it successful?
Yeah, there are a few common mistakes to avoid, but first, it's also important to know what a good relationship looks like, because oftentimes we see entrepreneurs with their high quick start energy and low follow through make the hire and they're done, right? They've hired their executive assistant and they don't have the follow through energy to the wherewithal to be able to really grow that relationship into something meaningful. And so what we try to do is we set expectations and we help, you know, facilitate intentionally growth down this course. But what we have seen doing this, many, many times is the first 90 days are broken into 30, 60, 90 day milestones. 30 days is know you. Does your assistant know the basic blocking and tackling of your business? What's the industry you're in? What are your products and services? Who are the core teammate members that you have or your direct reports? What are their roles and responsibilities? Who are your key customers and clients? What's your family situation like? You know, beginning to build relationships with those, you know, your spouse, your kids, whoever needs to be coordinated on the personal side. At the 60-day mark, it's understand you. And what this looks like is shared context and vocabulary. So when you say email Bob about that one thing, your assistant knows who Bob is, you know, and which Bob you're talking about and what that one thing is, right? Like there's this sort of lowering of friction in communication that begins to happen. And the relationship starts to gel more because you guys have the same perspective together. You're starting to work more closely together and it's getting to be easier. And then at the 90-day mark, you're looking for signs of anticipate you. And this is again where that executive assistant begins taking the leadership role in the relationship, right? That's where it starts to kick into a new gear. Your assistant is proactively taking action on your behalf. They know your needs, preferences, desires, and are able to plan accordingly around that, whether that's how you spend your time on the calendar, what kind of prep time you need for various types of meetings, what resources you need beforehand, who needs to be in meetings and who needs to have completed certain objectives or goals by the time that meeting happens, so everybody can arrive prepared. That's where the relationship starts to get really, really exciting. So those are the areas where we see the relationship forming and on a good track, because ultimately, like I said, the EA should be the leader in the relationship. But the five mistakes that really get in the way of that are, first and foremost, a lack of trust, right? You think of trust as a bank, not as a vase. So when mistakes happen, and inevitably they do, especially early on, right? That's a withdrawal from the trust bank account. It's not a shattering of the vase. The second thing is impatience, right? This is where that quick start energy gets the best of us, and it prevents us from really leaning into the relationship and growing the way that we want to. And so we think that the best relationships are formed in crock pots slowly versus just microwaved, right? The third thing, and this is a really big trap that we see, is cloning. So a lot of entrepreneurs we talk to initially say, well, if I just had a second me, everything would be okay. And all that would do is 2x the problems that you have. And so what you really are looking for in this role is a complement, not a clone. Somebody who possesses skills and a demeanor and a follow through and even a lower quick start than you have. You'll provide all the quick start, intense energy, all the vision, but then you need somebody who's able to actually get things done for you. And so don't look for a clone, look for your complement. Low expectations, that's another biggie, right? And so is the work that you're planning on doing with your executive assistant menial or is it meaningful? And if it's meaningful, then you've got an opportunity for a tremendous amount of growth in that relationship. And the last one is just personal insecurity. We run into this a lot is, you know, you keep your guard up because you have to project this image of knowing everything, having all the answers, being in control. It undermines the ability for the assistant to grow in confidence, and it reduces the surface area of activities that you and your assistant can work on together.
And if I could possibly add just one more, just because it's just not where you're thinking when you're forming the relationship, but it's how are you going to continuously feed the growth mindset of the assistant from an ongoing basis? You think of the typical entrepreneur, at least in the communities that we're swimming in, Ben, we're implementing EOS or running, you know, we're in groups like Strategic Coach. We're constantly feeding ourselves, right? So even if you found the perfect assistant, you're growing, right? You're growing a business. You're like, and so if that relationship doesn't grow with you, you're immediately that perfect relationship, you're immediately starting to pull and drift apart, right? So how are you going to continuously feed that growth mindset on an ongoing basis and remove, have regular opportunities to for them to get the coached to remove friction and grow alongside you, remove those roadblocks? And so I think that's an important thing to think for a role like this, because it's such an important partnership in the business. It's such a huge force for leverage within the business for the entrepreneur.
Well, definitely something we don't think about. And I want to come back to something Ryan said a minute ago about the connections with the people in your personal life, wife, kids, whatever you mentioned. I want to get back to that in 1 second. But what can people do to think about developing their assistant? That point that you just made.
Yeah.
What can people do to do that?
So the model that we have found that is most effective is what we call the three C's: curriculum, coaching, and community. And so, you know, we've found that there's not a whole lot of great curriculum out there, right? And so what happens is, because you can't go to college or university for this role, people will hire based on experience. They'll say, well, you've been an EA in the past, come work for me, right? And that seems reasonable, right? Given lack of other information available. But what we have found in relationships that don't work is that hires somebody else's way of working, their habits, their work style. There's a lot of baggage that comes with that relationship. And so we found it helpful to develop a really in-depth, detailed curriculum for how to be a great executive assistant on our playbooks, right? And so that's one thing, is search online for resources. It's been tough for us, frankly, to find really great concentrated resources. So that's one thing we really had to work hard early on in the business and continue to develop now. Coaching. This is one where having one-on-one personal development is so critical in this role. Early on, it's really just to sort of smooth out the wrinkles, right? Make sure things are on track and that you're asking the right questions, and that if, you know, your entrepreneur gives you a curveball, you're dealing with it in the right way, and you're understanding their communication styles and preferences. That's sort of the early on, making sure that the relationship is developing well. Where the coaching develops after that, though, is feeding the EA's growth mindset. And this is one of the biggest things we see, you know, for entrepreneurs in particular. When they hire an EA, that's the most important thing you can hire for, is what is your growth mindset like? Do you have a growth mindset? Give me examples of where you fed or developed your own growth mindset over time. Because the thing that we see is that entrepreneurs, we know their future is bigger than their past. They're always working to their vision of a bigger future. And an EA with a growth mindset sees those opportunities as exciting, interesting, invigorating, new challenges, new opportunities to learn and grow. And an EA without a growth mindset sees those as more friction, more pain, more opportunity for mistakes and to screw things up. And they resist the changes that come with it. So growth mindset fed by coaching and personal one-on-one development, it's something we do, but there's nothing stopping entrepreneurs from providing that consistent weekly feedback loop of personal growth early on. And the last piece is community. So we have a community, but you can get plugged in, or your EA can get plugged into, you know, maybe a Facebook group or something like that. But having a peer group, we all know it on this call, the value of something like Strategic Coach and having a peer group, or EO, where I met, you know, Steven. It, you know, peer groups are great for us. We totally get the value of it. Why would we think it's any different for our EAs? Mm-hmm. EAs are in an isolating role. So whether they're in person or remote doesn't matter. But typically there's only one EA on the team reporting to the CEO or the founder, and they don't have a natural peer on the team. They don't have fellow members of the sales team or the product or operations team, right? They don't fit in quite the same way. And so having a peer group of fellow EAs to share, to grow from, to get experience from, advice, all of that, and frankly, just support, because we're not always the easiest people to work with, is a critical component to an assistant going the long haul, right? Nobody talks about getting an EA and think, oh, every 6 months I'm going to rehire for this relationship. You want it for 6 or 60 years, right? You want to find the right person and just go forever. So that community piece helps keep that relationship strong and helps keep your EA sane.
Right. What's a typical price range people can expect to pay for this kind of EA? Not the other couple of roles you mentioned earlier, but this kind of EA, what is that typically costing?
Yeah. So if you're hiring overseas, our experience is that EAs are typically going for anywhere from $15 to $30 an hour, depending on experience and capability, right? And then if you're hiring in the US, we're seeing anything from like $55,000 to $75,000. I know entrepreneurs who have hired for this role at $150,000 per year. So it really depends on what, you know, who you're finding, what experience you're looking for. One of the things we started is exclusively hiring in the United States. One of the things that we learned through that process is that EA here is typically viewed as an entry-level role, one that you want to move on from to keep building your resume. And one of the joys of working with EAs in the Philippines, where now we exclusively hire from the Philippines, is that we're able to pay top of market rates. And this is a role that is respected, appreciated, impactful, and a career role for the folks who
more likely to be long-term
that we hire. They don't. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. And so that's been one of the real joys of moving overseas. There's a cost savings, but I actually think that is a distant second benefit to the fact that you're hiring somebody who wants this as a career for themselves.
That's so interesting. And we are so far over time right now, but one last thing, you mentioned before, cause I know this came to me as like an immediate objection, but then I was like, oh no, I can't say that cause it makes me look bad. But you mentioned before about like coordinating with your like spouse and kids and everything. So I'm thinking like, what am I going to say? Like, oh, you know, get on my calendar, talk to my assistant, you know, I don't know. Like that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about my assistant coordinating with my family. Like, cause I feel like that they're going to be like, what the, like, I don't know.
Open the exact same head trash that Steven dealt with his employees, where he was the roadblock, right? So how many times is my wife texting me trying to get on the same page, trying to figure out what's going on, trying to figure out some answer to some question that, you know, is knowable, but I'm in a meeting or my attention is elsewhere. How many times are you coordinating doctor's appointments for the kids? Who's picking who up from school? Where, you know, think about the logistics of a family. It is for
making
for
their lives easier. Family,
it's like a small business, right? It's got all of the coordination points, all the communication points that your business does. And there's absolutely no reason that everybody's life isn't made better. It is wrong to view the EA as a gatekeeping tool. And certainly with your family, you wouldn't want it to be, but it is an enabling tool. It makes everybody work better and in harmony together. And that's good for everybody.
And Ben, what I would say is switching, also moving from expense to investment here, right, is not just the things Ryan said, but like all of a sudden, I already mentioned, you know, how I show up as a husband because of my assistant. The same is true. I have a better parent report on each of my kids, where I update it quarterly on things that they're interested in. My son's interested in Pokemon right now. She's looking for things. We recently found a car show I wouldn't have known. I took him out of school a little bit early. We went to the car show. We had a special day together, like all those things. So I'm now showing up, and like I'm showing up in ways that I've always cared to do, but sometimes my creativity just gets depleted. So I'm showing up in that way.
Yeah.
And then lastly, friends. Friends my family was actually excited about it earlier. My friends were almost a little bit awkward. And sometimes I still get Nooner's not always available, you know, like, but the cool thing that most of my friends will say is that when I'm with you, I'm with you. I'm very present, right? And one of the things that I would say, is that my relationships are all better because of my assistant. My assistant, we have a better friend report, and she weekly goes on all of social medias, because I hate social media, I hate the politics, I hate all the negativity. She goes through and she finds out that, you know, so had a baby, right? And she alerts me, and I get to, hey, let's send a gift or whatever. And so I get a little report, I give her the responses, they're all my responses, but I save time and I get to stay connected, because nothing is worse than finding out a dear friend of yours had a baby and you're like, hey, what, I didn't even know. And right, they're like, well, I posted it on Facebook. I'm like, right. Oh,
that's great stuff. All right, I really appreciate you guys. I appreciate all of this stuff, and I hope it opens people's eyes, the way the interviews I've listened to and our conversations have done. Obviously, you guys have really got your act together, very organized. Superpowershq.com. If anybody else wants to learn more, look at getting an assistant, an executive assistant, opening up your freedom and possibilities and growth, the way Ryan and Steven are talking about. Thank you so much for making this time.
Always good to be.
Thank you, Ben. This has been great.
Yeah. Love you, brother.
Awesome. Love you too. And everybody else, we'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolfe.